This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from an impossible catch. Oh my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for a must-be a Tuesday, baby. But it's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you, Joe Fisher to my left. Let's go! Schultzy back on the ones and twos. Our fill-in producer, Jordan Schultz, is here again.
Good to
see you.
Glad
to have you, bud.
Yeah, I know. It's been a really weird, wacky couple like weeks or month. I apologize, but I'm here.
We understand. The Jordan Schultz, Will Ortner train. Like, we understand what's going on.
Jordan had to take the day off to celebrate his birthday like a kindergartner.
That's awesome.
Right. Well, I mean, I was out at the casino on the beach, so I
got to hit the casino.
Do you want me to come back from the casino here to do the show and then go back?
I'd like to see some dedication, yeah.
Yeah, might be some tipsy Jordan that you get now really ready to do the show.
You know, back in the day, there
already
were times.
Barfed in that studio once before, so I mean,
you
come
shut
on.
Your mouth. You're right, though. I have.
There were times where I rolled into the old... The old studio.
Oh, the old Bancroft.
The old Bancroft, right on the banks of the poop-filled Willamette. I rolled in there with my pickup truck full of 5 days' worth of rafting camping stuff, just praying that nobody would rob me while I was doing this stupid baseball show. And fortunately, I got away with it every time.
You made it out alive.
You're lucky.
What's funny is I feel like I am more vulnerable in this parking lot than I was in that parking lot.
Right? It could also just be me and the fact that I've already had my car broken into once.
No, I already forgot about you.
No, I'm talking about me personally. I don't care about you, just like you don't care about me.
God, I love you. This is why we do this, Joe.
Yeah, I think it's like every day I go out to my car, it's just this fear. In the bottom, like, I'm like, just
how we look. How just, we look?
No, everything no. There? For the love of God. Also, I want to bring something up. This studio just has a funk.
Well, like, there's a lot going on in here right now,
I don't
now,
know
Joe.
If it's the four random quilts that are on this couch. I don't know if it's the bag of money that you now have.
Oh, hello.
Spread out all over the table that was in a Grand Central Bakery bag, which was then like in a any Panda of the, Express
I,
bag.
I don't like any of the bags. The bags are giving me a ton of anxiety. Like, I don't want the bags.
And then you, my friend, when I went over to smelt the dollar bills, I just got a whiff. Strong scent of tobacco.
That's got to be from the bills. That ain't me. I quit smoking cigarettes a long time ago.
Can we get a Scentsy in here or something? A candle? Some sort of like diffuser of some sort?
We think these are in bands of $10. Now, it's rubber bands. Why wouldn't you do 100?
I mean, what is this? What are those for? I'm so confused.
Oh, that is...
Schultzy doesn't know.
No,
you missed the developments
a couple
weeks ago.
You missed Jeek Caesus, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, yes, and yes. I have no... Jeek Caesus.
Yes.
Jeek Caesus.
Oh, okay.
He looks like this.
Which is
I'm
about exactly...
Jordan and the YouTube people.
Like Bigfoot with a guitar?
Yes.
He's about
okay.
ZZ Top. With a guitar.
Thank you. Okay.
Someone that goes by Jeek Caesus, that is about as what I expected him to look like.
Which is just, we all know that's a reverse of Seek Jesus.
Yes.
Right? Okay, I just want to make sure we're all on the same
page. We're all there with you.
They're playing with the letters there.
No, Dusty left the station one day and went out into the parking lot where this Jeek Caesus fellow was out there. And he's like, hey, is I just like a shoot in there?
And Dusty's like, please don't shoot me.
Yeah. And he's like,
or stab me.
I need to get something to them. And he's like, well, I can't.
Anthrax.
I can't get you in there, bud. So what's going on? He's like, here, I got something for them. He reaches in his bag and he pulls out this Grand Central Bakery bag.
What the hell?
And it says on there in a big blue pen to Mike Lynch on there. And within this Grand Central Bakery bag is just. I believe 31 bundles of $1 bills in
so
$10
cool.
denominations.
We think it's $310 to donate to Voldemort's battle against Harry Potter.
That's actually really nice. Our listeners step up even if they look like homeless people. Apparently they're going to stab you.
Hey, but...
you know, Schultzy has the best outlook on this of anybody. Yeah. He's like, God, I love our listeners. And Dusty's like, I feared for my life.
Well, if I were Dusty, I would have as well, but I'm not there.
And Isaac and Sugar are like, thank God Dusty was out there and not us.
Well, shouts to Jeek Caesus.
Yeah, thank you, Jeek.
I hope that's his real name.
I got a text legally. From Jeff Montpellier today to take this money.
And coordinate the handoff.
Coordinate the handoff.
You're basically like a drug cartel member.
Yes. I did reach out to Ashley Voldemort, and we'll figure out how this goes down.
Or doesn't. And we have a good time at Fan Madness.
You know, I listen to the boys. Look, the primetime boys, the primetime guys, okay, the boys are the morning. The morning are the boys. The primetime are the guys. I listen to the guys go through this whole thing. I text you, Joe, and I text Buck, and I was like, what is going on? Because I just happened to be in my car listening to
it
live.
Yeah, you did reach out to me. You're like, what the hell are they talking about?
I just happened to be in my car listening to it live. Buck was so cute. I love Buck. He said to me, he goes, they're about to explain it right now. Are you listening? That's how you know, right?
That's what he said?
Yeah. Well, he was like, they're explaining it on air now.
That's almost a swag-esque text right there.
Right. I totally was gaslit into...
Per my email.
Per my email, you dip. and then Rob and I were texting, and Rob was like, do you think you can get this to Mike? I was like, yeah, I can do it. It'll be in Cooley's place. And then...
just buy him a bunch of Orioles and Cleveland gear.
And what I loved is Isaac and Jason were talking about doubling down on this money.
Yeah.
And now that it's in my possession, I think it's the best idea because look, I am not made of money.
You should put it on the Yankees win total under,
like,
up at Allen A.
I am not made of.
See how that works out.
I am
for you
not
again.
Made of money by any means. Like, I don't have like some fat stash of cash. Well, although, despite what's in front of me,
I mean,
I
optics aren't great for you.
I am very tempted to go gamble this money, and if I lose it, pay what it is to Mike. So, like, he won't lose any money, but I am willing to, because I have not donated any money because my friendship is invaluable.
Wow. How about you?
So
Ian Eagle even donated, you douche.
So I have not donated any money to the Great Voldemort Research Fund, but I'm tempted to lay this all down at Fan Madness.
What would you lay it down on? Would it be a college basketball bet? Would it be a...
If Syracuse made the tournament, which they ain't. Just heads up. I would put it all on Syracuse.
Okay.
But they're not there. So now I'm tempted to just throw this down on. I love the idea of Yankee over under.
And
I
you would
love
have
that
go,
idea.
You'd have to go under win total just to make it even worse for Mike.
Just to poop on Voldemort?
Yes.
Just to be like, I think your Yankees suck. You know, I did tell him
that way he has to root for the Yankees having a less win total.
I did tell him at his wedding. I did say to him at his wedding, you know, Mike, I always told you Lou Gehrig was the greatest Yankee of all time. And now you agree with me, right?
Jeez.
I know. Abby, my wife, looked at me and was like, do not absolutely say that to him. Do not say that. I told the joke to Nemec because he was sitting right next to me. And he's laughing hysterically. He goes, don't say that at all. And then we're chatting with Mike, and I totally dropped it. And Mike lost his ass. He loved it.
Well,
he loved
good.
It.
You got lucky.
I said, I told you, Gehrig's the best Yankee of all time.
Maybe bet it on the Red Sox winning the World Series. What are the odds on that one?
But Jason also said, just put it on black.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Just let it ride.
Roulette, baby.
That or
just throw it on black.
Hand of blackjack. Why not?
Just one hand of blackjack?
Yeah, one hand. Oh, so God. Variance doesn't screw you here. You either get lucky or you don't. Kind of like on the roulette wheel.
Now that it's in my hands.
What if you get an 11? Then you got to double down.
Oh, we double down.
Oh, we all.
Oh,
I'll contribute.
Oh,
to
we
help
double
down.
Down.
We get.
Oh, you got a. Oh, fives split.
Yeah.
Split.
Well, and then a.
You got two queens split.
Split, and then a double down. We're going triple,
without
baby.
Without a doubt.
I'd make it happen.
Without a doubt.
Hey, I will say I am very much looking forward to Fan Madness because I do not go to the casino at all during
me
the calendar
neither,
year.
Me neither. I'll be there Thursday.
I will be there Friday.
Yeah. I might be there a little bit on Friday. Well, I got to work Friday afternoon, but I will be there on Thursday. I might be there a little bit on Friday.
Maybe you call in sick and you hop on the old Odyssey Portland party bus at 11 a.m. and take a little trip on up there with us.
No, I'm not going to drive down here to take a party bus to a place that's 20 minutes.
Why not?
12 minutes from my house.
But it's a party bus.
To take a party bus down here to get back to my house.
Come on. Come on.
You think the party bus would stop at my house?
No.
Probably not.
No. It is going from this parking lot to Allen A.
Who's in charge?
You know who's
resident Red Sox fan?
Yeah.
Cooley?
Yeah. Who has just been catching hell the last couple days.
Oh, I got him.
On this station.
I got him in my pocket.
Come
on. Since he left, I'm longer tenured than him.
Well, you should join us on the party
bus. The clock restarts?
Or at least at the blackjack table.
When you leave and come back, the clock restarts.
You going to join us at the blackjack table?
No, because you guys are idiots.
No, it's fun. It's a fun time.
Yeah,
me, Cooley, Kurt, Sam Tongue, who is now our new general sales manager.
I'm only there if Johnny's there.
Johnny Ludwig?
Go Cougs.
Oh, he'll be there.
Oh, yeah. Johnny's always there. Yeah.
If Johnny's there, go Cougs.
Yeah.
Like, we're together.
And then Chuck Hall, our accounts receivable guy,
love Chuck.
Our controller, he just laughs at us when we lose money. He's, like, not even at the table. He's just sitting behind us watching.
Because he's a money guy, and he's not gambling.
And
because he's a money guy.
No, I think he's gambling, but it's just when he's
gambling
done,
in his head about which one of these losers is going to lose all their money first.
He'll come and spectate and just basically be the hecklers in the crowd. And when we lose, he's just I would have not hit on that.
Yeah, he's the first one to
back, backseat better.
Oakley Dokley. Well, we got a show for you tonight. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll continue our division preview as we lead up to opening day as pitchers, catchers, players are all reported. Spring training is upon us. Last week, if you missed it, we did both the American League and the National League East. This week, we'll dive into the Central as we'll be off next week. So we got to kind of line these up and get these going. So we'll dive into the National League and the American League Central in the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, Joe's got a fun little tidbit about the best center fielder in Major League Baseball. I always think that's a fun, hot goss topic of conversation for us. So we'll get to that at 7:45. But when we come back... Tap my head.
Do you want to review this last segment?
What do you mean?
Do you want to check if this last segment was a strike or a ball?
I think I'm going to be cool on it.
Okay.
But that's because I'm the hitter.
Is it one challenge per show?
You know, yeah. Pitchers are always right.
Yeah, how many challenges?
Pitchers are always right. Pitchers always know if they're right or wrong. So we'll get to ABS next. We'll do that. This is the Hot Corner Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
718 Portland Sports Leader, don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. There's the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They shoot you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. It is still weird that there's just a giant pile of cash in front of me.
Just shoot a rap video.
If you were going to shoot a rap video, which rapper are you?
I'm probably going Lil Wayne circa 2009.
I'm going to go Ja Rule because this is the last time he saw this kind of cash.
I got to go Lil Jon. Yeah. He's still making that kind of cash.
I mean, that grill costs money.
The royalties that he made so many of those songs. But yeah, that looks ready to go, buddy, for a music video or
Sassy's.
Or Sassy's, yeah.
I mean, with all these ones in front of me, I'm about to go to Sassy's
or
now.
Or Mary's.
Is there a Mary's?
There is a Mary's. They move locations. If they were $2 bills, we'd be at Casa Diablo. There's no doubt about that.
And that's right up the road.
Right up the road from here.
Not far. I have never been. I went to Casa Diablo 2, the one that tried to compete with Acropolis across the street.
On 99. Yeah, I used to work in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Not surprised it's not around anymore.
Well, the A-Crop is pretty much.
I mean, what are you doing?
They don't
steak bites.
Area. It's like drug dealing. It's like, this is our territory, okay? Like, know your area. You got north of West Portland. We got southeast. All right, stay in your lane. Okay.
I will say though, the Casa Diablo down the road, the roast beef,
isn't it vegan? Oh, beef isn't vegan. Yeah, that's right.
What?
Oh, I wasn't talking about the food.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Get yourself a little Arby's cheddar, did you?
Do like me some Casa Diablo.
I hope there's no cheddar. I'm a sans cheddar kind of guy.
Am I dumb for, like, I feel like I read something the other day where it was, like, vegan, but it had meat in it? And I was like, well, yeah,
no,
I guess
Joe,
meat
Joe, Casa Diablo is vegan.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm talking about the roast beef,
I get what you're saying. Right. Yeah, the Hope Solo sandwich. I got
to lay it out all over again.
No,
my
I got
God.
You.
I'm
picking,
my God.
I'm picking up
Thank
what you're
God
putting
my
down.
Wife is
Moving
not
on.
But anyways, vegan food.
Here we are in spring training, as everybody has reported, and things are going down. There's a lot happening. You know, there's Buck just told me some prospect for the Giants that I've never heard before hit a 450 home run. And the announcer said, well, I've never heard a bat crack like that since Barry Bonds.
Oh, boy.
You know, so that's where
we are. Get the piss test ready.
Yeah, that's where.
How big is this kid's head?
Yeah, that's where we are right now. But the biggest thing to come out of spring training so far is ABS. And I'm not talking about your bowel movements. We're talking about.
Or your brake system.
We're talking about the automatic ball strike. And it's been interesting to kind of just see when guys call it, whether it's a pitcher or a batter, things like that. It is a test in spring training. It has been going on in the minors for a couple years. Joe, I'm just going to open this up to you. Your initial reactions on the first week or so of ABS in spring training.
I think it's going to add, and I say it's going to add because it's going to be added into the game probably next year is my guess. I think it adds a wrinkle into the game that is very interesting, that could have some interesting benefits, but also some things that could go against the game. Whereas, like, these umps, man, they've got some egos. And if you challenge a call, like, are they going to be a little pissy for the rest of the game?
A little
game?
Bit later on? Oh, like, I know this guy ain't got a call.
You thought that was a ball? Okay, I'm not giving this to you the rest of the game. I'm not calling it. Like, I hope that does not happen. But I was watching a John Boy video the other day because it was the Rays versus God. I'm trying to think, maybe the Royals. I can't
must watch TV.
Yeah, something pivotal in spring training. But you know, the pitcher used the challenge early on, thought it was a strike, and it was called a ball, stayed a ball, and they used their challenge, and then they couldn't really use a challenge. They only had one left for the rest of the game, and then they had two more pitches that were called balls that he couldn't challenge because he had already used his challenge. So strategically, like, being smart about when you want to use that challenge, and this is a good thing it's in spring training right now, like figuring out those situations, like Do you want to use it on the second pitch of the first at bat, or do you want to wait until it's a 3-2 count
in the eighth
with a second, you know, in
game 161?
You know, it's going to be interesting to see like what situations matter most. Also, I've been seeing a lot of the pitch framing aspect, like catchers who are really good at framing pitches, like, are they going to trick their own pitchers in thinking it was a strike?
Yeah,
because
happened.
They framed a pitch, and so, but it was called a ball, and it was like, well, the pitcher sees that look like a strike because their catcher framed it really well.
I saw one today that was in the, it just kissed the top right corner.
Oh, I think I know which one you're talking about. They were saying it's like, that is the definition of painting the corner.
And, right, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what it was. And it was like, oh, I want to see that.
And it was,
and they
just
looked at
there,
it, and it literally just on the corner. And there was just a little bit of red there, and they're like, that's a strike.
Yeah. And that was interesting to see that because I didn't realize it was going to be like, if at any point it is touching the strike zone, you know, even just of a fraction of an inch, then it's a strike.
I mean, we see it in tennis, and yeah, it's worked really well in tennis.
Well,
but they can kind of do that whenever because tennis is that rectangle, you know, that it is so definitive in that. It's never a judgment. I mean, I guess the head chair is judging, but it is definitive in that. To where a strike zone changes and evolves. But, Joe, I think you're spot on with this. What's going to come from it is, how does this affect your strategery? How does this affect how, when, and how you do it?
And
if
also,
it's game one of the World Series, okay? It's game one of the World Series. It's Shohei Ohtani's on the mound against Tarek Skubal. Okay, let's just say it's Dodgers, Tigers in the World Series. And it's Tarek Skubal and Shohei Ohtani. And Tarek Skubal's like, look, Dodgers are the evil empire. I need every edge I can get. Am I doing this in the first inning? Or am I waiting for my bullpen in the seventh to do it?
My question is that, and I'm pretty sure I read this correctly, is that you get two challenges, and as long as you get them right, you get a third. You just keep them. And
yep,
it's basically unlimited as long as you're getting the calls right.
I mean, do you guys think that we've had regular challenges, not on the balls and strikes being called specifically in the game for, what, 15 plus years now, maybe even a little bit longer, I think. But do you think that that actually is going to affect the way that these umpires will call the game later on? Are you telling me that, like, in the second inning, if the Mariners decide to challenge and it goes their way, which I've seen happen several times with a team, the umpire's just waiting the entire game to get, like, a get-back call for himself or something like that?
Well, I think Joe mentioned that. Like, if you question me all game, is that going to change my strike zone?
But then also, this could... You know, because pitchers and batters can both challenge.
Right.
So it's just a matter of, like, I would hope, fingers crossed, that umpires don't have egos in this, which is kind of asking a lot. But again, there's so many pitches and plays that go into a baseball game that I would hope that one challenge or two challenges, they're not going to be like, you know what, F you guys, I'm not giving you calls.
I honestly don't think umps will change. Like, even if, you know, say Tarek Skubal in the first of the World Series is like, you know, taps his head and it's overturned, and two batters later taps his head and it's overturned for a pivotal third out in the first inning with runners on the corners or something like that. I don't think umps will change their mind. I don't think they will. I think the larger discussion with ABS is, the challenges are this, like, facade to keep the umps there as humans and not go into robo-umps. I almost feel like, as anti-robo-ump as I am, this ABS thing, I feel like it's either go robo-ump or don't go robo-ump.
Otherwise,
it's like a challenge in the NFL. How many times is there a challenge that you could call all game? But you have to be smart about when you call it. You know, it's like a fourth down in the third quarter. You're only down by three. You're like, Man, I think we got that fourth down, but I'm not going to use it now. As opposed to just getting things right all the time.
Well, I don't know.
And I think balls and strikes is so minute in the grand scheme of things that the idea of having one or two, I don't know. It feels weird to me. And I'm trying not to be a curmudgeon because last year I was very anti larger stolen bases. I was very anti pitch clock and I was wrong. I was very wrong on that. That worked brilliantly. I thought we had a better game. Things were up. Games were faster. Stolen bases were up and games were still faster. Offense was still good. So I don't want to be like that, but it's just kind of like, all right, just go robo then.
I hear you. It's like, well, if we can get these calls right, why can't we just use this all the time?
Get it all the time. Get
every call right. I hear you on that. The one thing I do appreciate about this is I didn't realize how quick it was going to be.
Like, it is very quick.
It is so fast. Yeah, it does not take that much time out of the game at all.
I mean, it's no different than the box we see on TV.
Right. Yeah, and so there was one where it was the Padres and Dodgers playing, and I mean, an ump called it a strike, and the batter was like, challenge. And then within seconds, you get the review, and it's clearly a ball. And I was like, dude, if it's showing it this fast, and also showing how bad umps are sometimes, like in real time,
yeah,
which is hilarious. I was like, sign me up. I was like, I'm in on this.
Well, that's the last thing I'll say to you, and then we'll get out of this because we're way up against it. Is maybe this really fine-tunes umps. Maybe this says, like, hey, guys, if they can do it this fast, if they can see it that clearly, we have to be better, otherwise we're out of a job.
Well, when have we seen umpires have to eat it or referees literally have to eat it in real time? I mean, you're literally talking about their call, like, nope, I'm right. 2 seconds later, I'm proven wrong.
I watch the Premier League, and it's like, guy makes a penalty call, and it's like, well, then they review it, and then he's got to go look at the video, and then he comes back, and he goes, no, I'm wrong. That's a six-minute thing.
Do those guys get penalized for having those wrong calls?
No, of course they don't.
See, I do feel like at some point.
Because the unions and stuff, though, you got to remember that.
No, but there will be a little pushback. I know we got to go, but I do feel like at some point this ABS system is going to be up against the umpires' egos. And if the umpires don't get right with it, because, yeah, there's little kinks that need to be worked out, but if umpires don't agree, they're going to be gone. And I think we are going to see this very soon. And the strike zone is like the hardest thing to figure out, guys. It is so
subjective. Well, it changes batter to batter.
Exactly. So when you're saying like, well, if you're just doing a robo ump to call strikes and balls, it needs to be around the rest of the field and just have them call the entire game. Nah, I don't feel like you need that to call the rest of the game. I think you need this system to kind of centralize what a strike zone actually is so these umpires aren't so full of themselves being like, I know what a strike and a ball is. No, you freaking don't.
I like to believe that this will force the umps to be better.
Yeah.
Joe, do you agree?
Yeah.
I think it'll look at them and say, like, hey, my job might be on the line.
Well, again, hell like, yes. It's just going to be they see a pitch, call it one way, gets challenged, and then they see it, and they're like, oh, wow, okay, I guess I was out to lunch on that one.
Yeah.
And then it makes them question their own judgment, and then they have to reevaluate the strike zone for that specific player. Yeah.
Thank God they're doing it in spring training and not in real baseball right now. Let's cool off and see how this goes down. All right. When we come back, divorce is a very messy, messy, messy thing. And not Leo messy because he's the GOAT, but a very like dirty, gross thing. And we'll see how that all plays out. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. We'll throw it over to Schultzy for sports.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in hour two, we'll dive into the American League and the National League Central as we preview divisions leading up to opening day. Just a reminder, we're off next week. Ducks basketball, they take on, wait, don't tell me, I looked this up, Indiana. Next Tuesday, tip at 6, pregame at 5:30, if 5 o'clock, something like that. It'll preempt prime time.
It's usually how it goes.
And so,
screaming Joey Mack.
And so we'll be off next week for the Ducks, Indiana. Mike Woodson. Not Mike Woodson.
He's gone.
He got fired, or
I believe.
Well, I don't know. Is he still on the sidelines?
I thought he was still the coach.
He said he's leaving at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think that's what I remember seeing is that he's not going to come back after this year.
Yeah, he's still coaching. He's going to be sitting in Bobby Knight's infamous chair that he threw in his next game.
Reddit college basketball is actually hilarious.
Well, Reddit can be hilarious regardless.
Yeah, Reddit college basketball, though, is hilarious. One guy said, I have insider info that if Mike Woodson doesn't step down tomorrow, then you can ban me from this sub. And Mike Woodson stepped down the next day.
Wow.
Yeah,
good for them.
Right?
Call
he
a
was
shot.
Just like some dude. And everybody was like, hot takes exposed. See you later, bud.
Make that guy a mod.
I know, right? We'll make him the next, like, Indiana Shams.
Anyway, so we'll be off next week, and coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll preview the Centrals, and in 10 minutes, Joe's got some cool center field stuff that we'll get into. But let's get into this. ESPN and Major League Baseball have come to a quote-unquote mutual agreement that this will be the last year of baseball on ESPN.
I was going to say more like a mutual disagreement.
They're breaking the contract and things are over because ESPN has decided they don't want to play baseball.
There was a deadline by March 1st for an opt-out, basically, where like the parties could...
Alex Bregman?
the parties could choose to leave the contract because it's supposed to go through 2028. There was 3 years on the deal left after this season, 2026, 27, and 28. And, yeah, March 1st, there is a deadline, essentially, that says that the parties can opt out of this deal. And so they've been in negotiations. They've been talking. They've been trying to figure things out, and they weren't. I mean, I don't know where we want to go with this, but basically it came down to money, as always.
Of course.
ESPN is paying $550 million per year for this agreement.
I'm not going to lie. That seems real cheap considering the NBA is like, you know, as $7 billion and nobody watches the NBA.
Well, ESPN did not think that was a good deal, seeing that Apple was paying $85 a year for their deal.
Their Friday night deal.
And Roku was paying $10 per year.
And did you know how many actual games ESPN has been airing at this point? For $550 million, they were
30.
Airing. Yeah, about 30, which is
okay.
Nothing.
Let's get out of these dollar values, okay? The reality is that ESPN has basically decided to not play baseball to fill that baseball coverage on a Sunday night with...
WNBA? I mean,
Joe's going WNBA. What do you got,
Jordan? That's the only other thing going on in the summer on
Sundays. What do you got, Jordan?
In the summer?
What else are they going to play instead of baseball on a Sunday night at 5 o'clock?
They're going to add like a new football lead-in show.
Yeah,
TGL.
And that's what I would say. It's not even TGL. I'm with Schultzy on this. Joe, I love your WNBA call.
It's not bad.
The reality is, it's like, what, for like Orlovsky to yell about football again? On Sunday night?
Well, but there's going to be Sunday night football happening on NBC at the same exact time.
But not,
so, I mean,
but not from April through August.
Yeah, I'm done. Sorry.
Yeah. That's why this... I always find it interesting, and that's why I can't wait for the next 10 years of streaming and what these people do, is when they're talking about what gets clicks, you know, what gets eyeballs... Okay, on a Sunday night at 5 o'clock, who cares if you're playing Cardinals-Marlins? Because it's better than anything else you could play. It literally is. Live sports is better than anything else you can play. If you're tuning in to CBS Sports, ESPN, this channel, 1080 The Fan, whatever it is, I would rather see live. I'm watching Alabama is up by 30 on a ranked Mississippi State on this TV. And I would much rather watch this game than someone telling me where Matt Stafford or Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson is going.
Well, yeah, and you can get that.
This isn't even a baseball thing.
You can get that just about anywhere.
This is just, I'd rather see live sports. You know, like ESPN's always like, you know, we love hockey. We love hockey. Yeah, if it's convenient for you. But if it's not convenient for you, you don't care.
Well, and this is the problem with ESPN. And I was talking about this with my girlfriend last night is, you know, I was had the TGL thing on because I was like, you know what? I haven't given it a fair shake. Let's watch it. I'm in the golf mood. Golf season's getting close. Let's take a gander.
I did the same with Nations.
And then,
Four Nations. I did the same with Four Nations. I was like, not a big hockey guy, but hell, it's on. I'll watch it.
And then right after it ends, they go into SportsCenter and they spend the first 10 minutes talking about TGL in the playoff race. And hey, we got Justin Thomas here for an interview and they're breaking it down. And I told her, I'm like, ESPN, and this has been happening for years, I was like, they're just annoying because they are going to cater, and this happens with Fox Sports, it happens with them, they're going to cater to what they have media deals with.
Remember they had NASCAR for a while, and they were like, we're bringing in, what's the Southern dude with the big draw who also did college football?
Yeah, Marty.
Marty Jeanette.
No, not Jeanette.
No, he was Marty. He was doing golf too.
Marty Jeanette's a
Marty
real
Smith?
Guy.
Marty Smith. Marty, yeah. He's on this TGL.
Stuff. Time out.
Yeah.
Who's Marty Jeanette? That's a real person.
I don't know.
Googling. Okay.
Marty
I don't
Smith.
Know.
But Marty Smith was like this big time Southern college football guy, and then ESPN got NASCAR, and they were like, "Let's bring in Marty Smith," and he's like, "Yeah, these guys drive right." Left.
Turn to the left sometimes. It's dumb. It's annoying. And also, I know MLB is pissed because they're like, dude, you don't really give us a whole lot of love anymore.
And that's the best part is that Major League Baseball stuck to their ground. Again, this conversation isn't like my love for baseball. This conversation is calling people out for what they do. I think hockey should do this too. Major League Baseball went to Joe's point, went to ESPN and said, look, you don't give us coverage. You don't care about us.
We get our game, and
you
then
throw
you
baseball
talk about
on Sunday, and every once in a while a Wednesday, and you pretend to care for a half hour before and zero time afterwards.
But is that because of them, or is that because they're playing the hits, and idiots across this country will continue to listen to segments about the Dallas Cowboys and whether or not LeBron and the Los Angeles Lakers are going to win another title? I'm a baseball guy, y'all.
I don't even have the Laker game on.
But
it's, well, to your point, Jordan, it's a change in sports media landscape where the hyperbolic dude yelling and freaking out the entire time, people like that and like having angry commentators that are, I can't believe this. This is
absolutely disgusting.
How much money did they give Stephen A. Smith recently?
Well, and again, it's like when you're paying a lot of those guys, or when you're paying Kendrick Perkins. Yeah. And again, it also goes down to like, what's the pecking order of who are we paying? What are we paying for most?
What I would like it to break down to. It's
we're paying MLB the less, the least amount. Okay, we're going to give them the least amount of coverage over the NBA and the NFL and whatever else we
have. ESPN. You want to be a football brand? You're the football channel. Apple TV right now, they're the MLS channel. Who's to say that the Apple TV model isn't the future for those other sports?
Well, for baseball, I think
you're a baseball fan. You tune into Schultz EPN, you know, or whatever it's called. You know, whatever person grabs it, it's like if you're a baseball fan, that's where you go. And maybe that's the best because I'm with baseball on the fact that you don't love us. You pretend to love us. You don't do our sport any benefit. You get, all of a sudden, it's the World Series and Ryan Clark is choosing who's going to win the World Series. No, thank you.
Well, and they just got the wild card round recently when they expanded it. They have the home run derby, and so they're not going to have that anymore after this season. And I did see a good point also. It's like, okay, well, MLB, who's going to give you $550 million a year?
It's
if
the
not
Pac-12
more?
Conversation all over again.
But quite frankly, if I'm Fox, I'm making a bid for it.
Without a doubt.
But to you me, don't have when, to pay that. Yeah. You're not going to have to pay $550.
Well, I mean, you probably will.
Fox already has the World Series.
Well, if Fox, I bet you Fox is going to air more than 30 games, and that's why.
Without a doubt, because they look at it on a Saturday and a Sunday, and there's no football. They're like, I almost put your finger on the dumb button. you know, Fox looks at it and says, look, I don't have anything else going on.
Yeah,
what literally. The hell do I care? Throw a baseball game on.
Yeah.
People want to watch live sports on Saturday.
But not
Saturday
baseball.
At noon?
Saturday, Sunday.
In July? What else are they going to watch?
There's nothing else
they're
going
not watching
on.
Anything. They're out playing with their families or they're out messing around, like doing stuff with their friends. Like, I am a baseball guy, but unfortunately, it's been seen in the last 5-6 years that it is consumed the most in little bits.
But it's not about what people are doing in the summer. It's about you have to have something on the air. You might as well have live sports on the air, as opposed to, is Travis Kelce going to come back? Well,
and
I don't care.
And live sports is the last bastion of appointment television.
That's it. Like, Joe's completely right.
Like, I can watch whatever I want to watch at whatever time. I want to watch the Orioles. I need to be in front of a TV, in front of a screen at a specific time every single day.
The other night was like, do you want to watch another episode of Modern Family? Or do you want to watch Canada, USA, and hockey? I was like, man, I don't care about hockey at all. Yeah, I'll turn it on. And I watched the entire third period and all of overtime, and Connor McDavid scored, and I went, wow, that was so fun. I watched the post-game coverage. And my wife is looking at me like, can we watch Modern Family? And I'm like, just in a minute. And that wouldn't have happened if there wasn't live sports on TV.
And that's what advertisers love, knowing that there's going to be people in front of a TV in a program. You can tell them this many people are going to be watching at this certain time.
And I'll tell you what, even if it is Marlins, Rockies, okay? We think these two might be the worst teams in baseball. Marlins, Rockies on Sunday Night Baseball. Do you really think Dan Orlovsky or Kendrick Perkins are getting more viewers than a live baseball game?
On some Sundays, yes.
I was going to say, unfortunately, some Sundays probably.
Or if they, if,
I hate both of
if
you.
If they did like a Pat McAfee.
I wanted you to be like, you're so right, Patrick.
Rerun
you're
or whatever.
Genius.
I mean.
I want you to be right, bro. I do.
Yeah.
Why did they end baseball tonight all those years ago?
I think it just also.
I'm worried Carl Ravitch is out of a job.
Well, I think it's also going to depend on, you know, games and matchups. And that's why ESPN for years was banking on Yankees Red Sox. It's like, well, we know people are going to watch that. Let's just keep putting that on and just want to talk about keep playing the hits. They feel like those are the only two markets in baseball. Well, I guess L.A. now for the Dodgers. But
Apple TV should go after Carl Ravitch right now.
I mean, I'm surprised right he's now. Not already on MLB
right
Network.
Now. Go get Carl Ravitch, Brian Kenny, and just poach.
Can they afford his hairpiece?
Dude, he's so great.
Well, guys, also, too, really quickly, I know we're up against it. Look at the ancillary networks that have opened up. You know, the NHL Network, NBA, NFL, MLB Network. MLB has a fantastic, from midnight to midnight, lineup of coverage.
Listen to it on SiriusXM.
Yeah, there you go. They've got the channel on the radio, too. They do spring training
previews. When Dirt and Sprague aren't on, of course.
Exactly. Or you can just go podcast it whenever you want. But they've got all the spring training previews of teams. ESPN never did that. They always just hit the big ones and the, as we've talked about, the hits. And they played the same things over and over again. You know, NFL Network has good coverage, but I do think that ESPN still supplements that. NBA Network doesn't have great coverage, so where do you get that filled in? ESPN. Like, it's just not
right.
done well
right.
other than MLB, and I think that took away from ESPN.
Right, and we'll see how this all plays out. When we come back, Joe's got a center field thing for me. We'll do that next. Hot Corner, 10 to the Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we'll get into our previews again, as we do leading up to the opening day. We'll dive into the Central. Joe, do you want to do American League or National League first? What are you feeling?
Let's go National League. This is an American League show. We'll finish
this. This is an American League show. All three of us are American League, and this is my division.
Oh, so, I mean, do you want to start off with your division?
No, we should probably start with the National League, because that'll, like, keep me in line to not go too far on my team. We had your division last week. It's my division this week, and in 2 weeks we'll get over to the old Schultzy over there. You know, that guy's ready, fired up.
Yeah, that division sucks.
That division, I actually think, is the most unpredictable of every division in Major League Baseball.
It is both a dumpster fire and a black hole of who's going
to
win.
So we'll get to that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. But, Joe, you had an interesting thing going on about center fielders.
Yeah, because I saw
the sexiest position not called shortstop.
Buster Olney is doing his...
Who's that guy?
Just some dude that talks about baseball from time to time. He doesn't know what he's talking about, though. Except this time. He's doing his top tens at every position for 2025.
You know what's funny? I'll be real quick. In other sports, I don't love this. Like, the top 10 quarterbacks, like, I really don't like it. But in baseball, stats define. So it's, like, so much easier. It's like, oh, okay, well, Josh Allen's stats are better than Patrick Mahomes. But in baseball, it's pretty straightforward. So I like seeing the top position guys.
Well, and also, you know, this was an ESPN Plus article, and I pay for that. And so I feel like I should get my money's worth and actually read this thing.
Tax write-off. Work expense.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Always file work expenses. Major League Baseball package? Work expense.
Darn tootin'.
So yeah, my Hulu, Disney Plus, yes. ESPN Plus. How about that?
Work anything expense. you watch your sports on.
Work expense.
Slightly aroused. Anyways, calm down, Joe.
He just broke the table about his tax return.
But I thought the top 10 center fielders would be interesting because Aaron Judge is moving to right field.
He's moving to right.
Mike Trout is moving to
right.
Mookie Betts is not going to be playing center field.
Don't play shortstop.
Yeah, so I was like, well, who the hell is the number one center fielder in the MLB? And again, when you think about all those guys leaving and who is playing center field, number one, it caught me off guard. Can you guess who number one on this list was?
Center fielder, Michael Harris II. You know, I told Voldemort years ago this guy was going to be great.
He was
my cousin, Michael Harris II.
He was number three.
Number three. Ooh, I like that.
Yes.
Other center fielders. You know, I don't know. I feel like center field is with guys moving.
No, it's not Cedric Mullins.
With guys moving and kind of rechanging, you know, maybe Cody Bellinger. Is he number two?
Cody Bellinger was number seven.
Oh, interesting.
He's still playing center?
You know,
that's yes. Wacky.
I think we always forget, at least when you're my age, you know, knocking on 60. I'll be 60 in June.
you look great.
Thanks, bud. You remember the old days of center field, whether it was Willie Mays and Duke Snyder and Mickey Mantle, or you go over the years, Ken Griffey Jr., Andrew Jones, et cetera, and then you get to Mike Trout and stuff. Center field is not as sexy these days as it was when we were younger, so I don't know.
And for the sake of time, I will tell you right now, number one center fielder in the MLB, according to Buster Olney, Julio Rodriguez.
Ooh.
And when I saw that, I was like, wow, what? Really? And then I saw
someone tell me why, damn it.
I saw the rest of the list. I mean, Jackson Merrill at number two.
Still got a lot to learn.
Michael Harris II at three. Brenton Doyle in Colorado at number four.
Kids.
You can't put a Rocky even in the top 10. I'm sorry.
O'Neill Cruz Doyle's at five. Yeah, Byron Buxton six. Bellinger seven.
By that field.
Luis Robert Jr. at eight.
He plays center? Oh, God.
Yeah, is he really?
See, but that's what I mean. Left. Like, center is a little down, but I am glad that Buster put Julio won.
And the big thing just talking about this article is he just references slow starts at the start of the article. Mm-hmm. And then he got some quotes from Mark Teixeira because he said that he had a very career-wise month-by-month splits. Mark Teixeira's hitting was very similar as how his OPS always started really bad. And then as the season went along, he got a lot better. And how the spring training approach for Julio is going to be a bit different this year, in that basically it's like, dude, you're going to hit and hit and hit and get as much ABs as you can in spring training. So that way we don't have this whole starting late trend and starting to hit the ball in July, August, September. Like, we're going to get this worked out immediately, get the rust off, get you in spring training, and we don't care who you're playing, who we're playing, we're going to get you some ABs.
I mean, I think it's the reality. I mean, if you look at the outfielders of the future, okay, obviously Judge, Bellinger, dudes like that, Soto in the outfield. I mean, Soto's
not
part of the future. He's not one of the old guys. But when you look at the old guys, Trout, Harper, I know Harper doesn't play in the outfield anymore, but let's pretend he did. The outfield is a young man's game now. You know, when we were younger, that was your superstar was an outfielder. And now it's a young man's game. Jackson Merrill, Jackson Churio, Julio Rodriguez. You're looking at
Pete Crow Armstrong was
Dylan
was number 10 on this list.
PCA.
It's that or it's a throwaway. It's like a Tommy Edman from the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Tommy Edman was honorable mention.
I believe his name is Tommy Taters.
Tommy Taters for the Dodgers.
But yeah, but the outfield is a young man's game right now. Ronald Acuna Jr., Fernando Tatis. Like, yeah, Acuna and Tatis are bigger names than Churio and Merrill. But they're all around ish the same age, and they all got something to prove. I think it's really cool that Julio is the number one, because from a skill standpoint, from playing the outfield and what your potential is at the plate, Julio has all the tools to be the number one. And I don't want to say he's a Griffey because he's in Seattle, but that is what made Griffey special. That's what made Trout special. That's what made Willie special. That's what made Mantle, Snyder, all those, Andrew Jones for a little bit. That's what made all them special, was not only were they amazing center fielders, but they were also great at the plate. Is Julio the number one center fielder in baseball?
I think time will tell. I think Jackson Merrill has a great chance to be able to climb up to number one.
I think so too.
But
like
again, I mean, as we mentioned, Julio.
And the Padres need him.
Yeah. Julio,
just like the Mariners need Julio.
He needs to start strong. I think that if you're a Mariners fan, you don't want to wait till July, August to see him turn it on.
And you've paid Julio. You haven't paid Jackson Merrill.
That's true.
So let's see some from Julio. That's an interesting tidbit from Buster Olney, who I guess I'll believe in. All right, when we come back, let's get into the Central. Let's preview who you got. The Cubs look good? The Royals? The Tigers? Like, where are we going? Brewers just going to do Brewer things? We'll get to that next. Hot corner, loaded second hour, 10 to the Fan.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay. That sounds good.
Read it.
Dear Chase, they're stickers.
Yeah.
My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
All right, welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. You missed the first hour. You can download that at the Fan Podcast at 10inthefan.com, wherever you get your podcasts, including places that rhyme with It's Always Sunny in Phila Spotify. Well,
not your best effort.
Well, I know, not my best, but I tried. I was a little behind the drill. I'm touching rubber that I'm allergic to on this crazy money that's in front of me. And we have fair or foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. But let's get into our division picks and previews, Joe. We're talking about the National League Central to start. Okay, now I remember last year being a very... fun situation, at least for me. You remember how hard I was in on the Cubs?
I think we both were.
Were we both? Was it both of us? I didn't want to lump you into that disaster that I was.
Pretty sure I was in on the Cubs, too.
But I felt so good about the Cubs last year, and it turned out to just be the Brewers doing Brewers things.
What's his nuts? Pat Murphy?
The old Murphs. He's really good.
Former Arizona State manager for a long-ass time, and he stepped right in and basically did what good managers do, and it's like, hey, we can't really manufacture a ton of runs, and we don't slug that much.
Don't spend any money.
So let's just steal a bunch of effing bases and play some really crafty baseball here, and let's go and essentially win a division wire to wire. I mean... I can't think of a time they weren't leading that division at any point.
It's last true. They were clearly the best. But then what happened, as Milwaukee always does, they get into the playoffs and they can't do anything. But that's not their fault. You know, that's not their fault. They're looking around the rest of that division and realizing, look, it's not our fault you guys all suck. However, this year, I think there's a lot more stuff. The Cubs have done additions by subtractions. Okay, no Cody Bellinger.
And also additions by additions.
Exactly.
Kyle Tucker.
Would you rather have Cody Bellinger or Kyle Tucker? Because I know the answer to that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you on that.
And there's a chance they might be on the same team next year if you catch them drift.
Okay.
Damn Yankees. But I thought they were crying poor. They can't afford him.
I can't afford it. This division, I think, is interesting. I think the Brewers are fascinating to me because we're all waiting to see. I think this team has twofold. Is Christian Yelich dead? And is Jackson Churio the real deal?
Well, he won a platinum glove.
Those are my questions.
Or no, sorry, they got Bryce Turang with the platinum glove. My bad.
Because this team is going to live and die by Jackson Churio and Christian Yelich. William Contreras is going to be William Contreras. He's going to be him. He's a really great baseball player. He's going to be absolutely fantastic. He's the best catcher in baseball. That's the thing. This team's going to live and die by Churio and Yelich. Can they pull it together? Because I don't love this. I don't love this starting rotation.
Freddie Peralta. I do like me some Tobias Myers. He had a great year last year. Yeah. It's just, can he replicate it? The thing with starting pitching in the MLB is, like, you do definitely have some, like, bona fide consistent starters where it's like, he's going to have a good year. Sometimes guys have one good year. And then they're not good anymore, and they can't find it. But Tobias Myers, he had a great first year as a full-time starter, and I would be intrigued to see if he's able to replicate what he did. I mean, same thing with Freddie Peralta. Obviously, he's been in the league a little longer, but after that, yeah, the that 1-2, it kind of falls off.
It kind of falls off really quick. Nestor Cortez was not needed by the Yankees, and they have Carl Pavano on their starting rotation. I'm sorry. I mean, what's that guy's Rodon. Name? Carlos Rodon.
Same as Pavano.
They might as well. Is AJ Burnett back in the league? I worry about that starting rotation.
Aaron Civale and Aaron Ashby right now are their 1-5.
And that's why I kind of lean towards the Cubs. Shota Imanaga, if he can repeat what he did last year in his rookie year, looks like a bona fide, maybe not an ace, but a bona fide starter in the league and a high leverage starter in the league. Justin Steele has shown flashes. He's had 2 years where he looked like he was the Cy Young winner.
I was going to say,
and
yeah.
And kind of faded down the end.
Yep.
Okay. Jameson Taillon. I know. I've been high on Taillon for 6 years.
Yeah, me too.
And he's still not that guy, but that's a major league starter.
Yes. Then Matthew Boyd, Javier Assad.
Dude, Matthew
out
Boyd in the playoffs.
Five.
Shout out, Tribe.
Former Mariner there as well. I think they'll probably be given the rest of his innings. Colin Ray pitched okay. He was kind of the innings eater of 2024 on that staff. I wouldn't be surprised if he brought up the number five spot there.
But they did go and snag Ryan Pressly. As a closer.
That's the truth. Kyle Tucker in the offense.
Yes.
They lost Cody Bellinger. You're like, oh man, no. They got Kyle Tucker. It's a rental though.
I don't know what it is about this Cubs team though. There's like a couple dudes on their lineup that they've had the last couple of years where I'm like, I like them. Like, I like Nico Horner.
Exactly.
I like Dansby Swanson.
I love Dansby.
I like, what's his nuts? Michael Bush last year had a great year.
I feel like people are
Ian Happ.
I feel like people are writing off Kyle Tucker because he's in a group of guys that we like. No one's great, but we like him.
Hey, they
like Michael Bush.
They also added Justin Turner about a week ago. I think that's a huge offseason signing just for the veteran presence, and it's probably something they didn't really have last year. They got somebody that's been in the World Series.
How do you know Schultzy is a Mariner fan when he thinks old man Justin Turner is a good addition?
Well, especially after playing for the Mariners. I mean,
guys, how many wins did the Cubs have last year? Like 83? 82?
They struggled.
Yeah, they struggled. Justin Turner is a piece that can...
He's 40!
He can bring that. He is a faux coach, and he can get 300 at-bats in the year.
Well, and again, being that he was just on the Mariners and is now on a new team, expect Justin Turner to have a really good season.
25 bombs!
Guys, I'm going to divert this conversation for a moment. You know how we always talk about, or at least I always talk about, teams that are going to be hard outs? Teams that you really don't want to play. I thought last year was going to be the Marlins. Wrong. Or no, 2 years ago was the Marlins. Last year I thought was the Nationals, and I was kind of right about the Nationals.
I was too. I said the Nationals would be. Yeah, they were going to be hard out,
and I think they're going to be pretty good this year. Do you really want to play the Cincinnati Reds this year?
Well, the Cincinnati Reds seemingly are the same team every year. Really, really good offense, absolutely terrible pitching. It seems like that's the case every year.
But, they have an addition.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
They have a big addition.
Yeah. He's not going to take any at-bats, but...
I've seen this rodeo before.
Oh my God.
He looked at Elly De La Cruz and said, do you want to be the best player in baseball? I'll make you the best player in baseball. That's Terry Francona. Hunter Green, there are some scary Reddit people that think he is a dark horse for a Cy Young.
Well, we know the story with him. He can throw absolute flames, but it's just a matter of can he control it.
I love Nick Martinez. I know he's like slated to be their fourth starting pitcher. I'm absolutely obsessed with him.
I don't mind some Nick Lodololo because it's fun to say his name, even though you add in three extra O's or three extra L's into it. As long as he can stay healthy, he can be definitely a great back end starter for
him. I'm very curious about this Rays team.
I am too, because I mean, TJ Friedl, Tyler Stevenson, Spencer Steer, Jaime Candelario.
I love that Gavin Lux left the Dodgers and still bats at the bottom of a lineup.
I mean, it's because he's what he is, man. He's not a two-hitter. He's an eight or a nine
guy. He was such a top prospect.
Somebody's got to be a nine.
I just don't know if they are offensively have that much firepower.
Neither do the Cleveland Indians.
But again, I think that's
Terry Francona.
Dude, I mean, again, this is where a manager can come in and be like, hey, you see how Elly De La Cruz, you see how he steals bases and he's aggressive on the pass? You're all going to do that.
Yeah, and to round out,
when you get on base, we're going to make the most of it.
To round out the rest of the division, the Pirates obviously have Paul Skeens, O'Neill Cruz. The Pirates have players.
Yeah, they're my sneaky one in the division.
Yeah, you like the Pirates in that? They have guys.
Well, yeah, they've got good young guys. They're waiting for the other O'Neill Cruz to come back, the other Cruz from injury. I know that T was like a new specimen at shortstop. So, no, they've got pieces, and they don't have an owner that spends money, but I think they could at least sneak into the playoffs with what they've got.
You know who their their guy in the one hole is? On roster resource.
Oh, God. Who's their leadoff?
He cannot die. Tommy Pham.
What?
I'm just here to get paid.
I mean, I know they brought Andrew McCutchen back, but I forgot about Pham.
They have him as fourth, as cleanup.
Okay, yeah. I might take that back.
I was going to say.
You know what? I retract my previous statement?
Joey Bart is batting fifth. Well, I've been waiting for that guy to pop for the last 5 years.
What is this, Byron Buxton?
My God.
Joey Bart actually had a good season last year. I wouldn't be surprised if he improved. It's just, albeit late.
We'll round out the division this, and then we'll take our picks. The last thing I will say is the St. Louis Cardinals.
Woof.
Their kids are about to come up. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
I mean, at least they got
I'm not picking them. I'm not saying they're going to be a tough out or anything. What I'm saying is Sonny Gray, Mikolas, Mats, they have some starting pitching. The question for them is what do they do with their kids? The Cardinals can't be down this long. They're going to come back. And they're going to deal Arenado. Goldschmidt's gone. They're going to deal Arenado, and they're going to get real returns. I'm just saying. Of the bad teams in the league, they might be the best.
Well, Wills Contreras needs to start playing a little bit better.
And he's going to play first, and they're going to take him off catching, and that might help.
Yeah, that is probably a good choice, because ever since the move to St. Louis, it's been kind of a mess behind the plate for him. I'm just worried after Nolan Aaron, like Lars Nootbaar, Jordan.
Oh, it's garbage.
Jordan Walker, Nolan Gorman.
Oh, it's garbage, but it's kids. They are now in a let's see what we got kind of move.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
Their farm system's only like 19th or 20th. It ain't good.
That's all I'm saying.
Did we?
But it's the Cardinals.
I know we got
to have to believe they're going to do real things.
I know we got to go. Are we forgetting a team? Am I spacing?
No, I mean, I mentioned the Pirates.
We did Pirates, Reds. Brewers, Cubs, Reds, and Cardinals.
That would be five.
All right.
Who you got winning this division? Jordan, I'll take you first.
Give me a pass.
I'm going to go to the Cubs. I really do think that their improvements are going to put them over the top of the Brewers. At the least, it'll be a lot closer than it was last season. Maybe like, you know, final series or two, they'll be fighting for it. But I think Cubs. Cubs will be in on it.
You'll take Cubs?
I will take the Cubbies.
Joe, you got last week's choices in the East?
I took a picture, yeah.
Okay. Because I took Joe's O's.
Hey.
Will was in. He took Joe's O's. I took Joe's O's. I'll go since you're writing this down in the Central. God, I want to pick the Cubs. I mean, like, I've been riding on them for the last few years. I want them to do this, but I'm going to throw. I'm getting weird. Oh, last week in the American League East, everybody was like Yankee, Yankee, Yankee. I went with the O's. I'm going to go weird in the Central. Give me the Cincinnati Reds.
Give it's me not Terry weird Francona. For you.
Yeah, you're
give me
a Tito
Frankie.
Guy. Yeah.
Give me Tito.
It's like if
give
Lou, Tito. Lou Piniella came back and he's just picked whatever team he was.
He's the best manager in that division. I'm gonna go with Tito. A little fun.
He was. I think Pat Murphy and Craig Counsell are talented managers there, buddy.
Yeah. Sure, I think they're talented too. I'll take Tito.
I'm going to roll with the Cubs again this year. I feel like I'm getting Kyle Tucker. That is a huge improvement over Cody Bellinger. Damn. I shouldn't say huge.
I always forget the Cubs have Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, should I take Tito?
They're 1-2. That's a very solid 1-2 starting pitcher right there. I'm feeling the Cubs. Pete Crow Armstrong, second year.
PCA.
I'm rolling with the Cubs. Don't let me down
Swanson
this year.
Swanson can't be as bad as he was.
Don't let me
year.
Down this year. I know we got to go. I'm going to get the win totals when we come back.
Okay, cool. When we come back, we'll dive into the American League Central plus win totals of the National League Central. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan. All right, we just finished the National League Central. Joe, hit me with, we got to guess our over-under win totals.
Milwaukee Brewers, what do you got?
87.5.
Jordan?
Brewers, I'm going. We're just picking the over under here?
Over under win total according to DraftKings.
I'm going to guess 86.5.
83.5.
What?
Whoa, that's a lot lower than I thought.
Okay.
The Pittsburgh Pirates.
Pirates, I'm going to go with 79.5.
Well, if the Brewers are so low, I'm going to go 75.5 for Pittsburge.
77.5.
Split the dip.
The Cincinnati Reds.
100.5. I'm joking. I will go with 79.5.
80.5.
78.5. Chicago Cubs.
Damn.
89.5.
87.5.
85.5. Whoa!
So they don't know what's going to be.
They hate this division.
Either, yeah.
That is the highest total. Spoiler alert, St. Louis Cardinals. What do you have there?
I might take the over on the Cardinals, but it's probably 74.5.
69.5.
77.5.
What?
Ooh.
Where? How?
See, they like the Cardinals like
it's
I like the
be
Cardinals.
A gauntlet.
It's going to be amazing.
A slobber knocker.
I swear to God, that'll stop your heart.
All right, let's slide over to the American League Central.
And it's commercial break.
Something near and dear to my heart. Near and dear to my heart. Last year, the Cleveland Guardians won the division. Detroit Tigers made the playoffs as well. Kansas City made the playoffs as well, which leaves the White Sox at the bottom. Guys, real quick, the White Sox win more games than they did last year, correct?
I mean, I'm going to guess yes.
Because I actually
one of the
think
worst
they,
seasons ever.
I actually think they made some improvements.
They'll win 50 games instead of 46 or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, yeah. So we can swipe that out, right?
Sure.
Is there any? Does Luis Robert get traded?
Yes.
No, I don't think he does. I think they're too stupid.
I'm kind of with Jordan. I think no, too. I think they're that dumb.
They're just going to hold on to him.
But I'm with Joe as well, like they should.
Oh, they should. Damn right.
Which leaves us in a four-team race with the Twins, Guardians, Tigers, Royals. I think this is one of the most fascinating divisions in all of baseball. I really love what Detroit and Kansas City have been doing. They're clearly building. They've got studs to build around. Both made playoffs. The Royals kind of no-showed against the Yankees. The Tigers were a game away from going to the NLC or the ALCS. And Cleveland, I thought, took the Yankees pretty decently. Some bad results in the end of a couple games. That game, that series could have gone further than it did. I love the Central as far as an entertaining standpoint.
No, I mean, it was entertaining last year. I mean, really, it was entertaining, especially when Kansas City was able to tie the division and then immediately lose the division a week later. Like
as a Guardians fan, it was wild to watch.
I couldn't believe it. We were like, God, oh my God.
It was like, no, they're here. I knew they'd be here.
Mariner fans were like, this is great. Another team blew the division. And then they got it immediately right back. Yeah, I mean, I am very intrigued to see what happens between these four teams because, I mean, Minnesota was fighting for one of those last wild card spots,
right,
essentially till the end. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, three teams are playoff teams last year.
If you like baseball, like old man baseball, the American League Central is your division. This is old man baseball.
Oh, yeah, a bunch of guys with really low payrolls. Absolutely.
And shocking old man baseball host over here is a fan of a Central team. I think it's fascinating. I think one of the teams that really needs a bounce back that I just don't see it happening, unfortunately, is the Minnesota Twins. They're the team I worry about the most.
They got no starting rotation. None.
Pablo Lopez is fine. I think Bailey Ober is going to be a great pitcher.
But Pablo Lopez is like a three on every other team.
Exactly. Like, I just... And then all their studs on offense are just injuries. Buxton, say no more. Royce Lewis is now a concern.
Your guy.
They picked Carlos up Ty France.
Carlos Correa is a big concern. They got guys that just can't stay healthy. And as much as I like Baldelli as a manager, I just don't think they have it. I think their bullpen will be very, very good.
I think their starting rotation's a little bit. I mean, you're right in the fact that Pablo Lopez is not like, oh my God, he's your number one. I don't mind what they're putting out there as far as 1 through 3 for starting pitching. It's not terrible with Ober, Joe Ryan, and him.
Yeah. Right.
So
I agree. I think their bullpen is going to be absolutely fantastic. If they fade, come around the All-Star break, come around the trade deadline, Duran and Jax, like I actually think Jax has a higher trade value than Duran.
It's fair.
I think that bullpen is one of the best bullpens in baseball. I just worry that their offense can't stay healthy. I worry that their starting rotation isn't strong enough.
Yeah, what's the over-under on games played by Byron Buxton this year? Because he never plays a full
75.
Season.
75.
Damn.
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. 75. A little over 50%.
That might be your Aylin A bit.
Hey.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not great. And he's a great player. But I would also say, what's the over-under for Carlos Correa?
That's a great question, too.
What's the over-under for Royce Lewis? And Joe, you know I love Royce Lewis. I wear a St. Paul Saints hat because of Royce Lewis. Half the year? I don't know. This team is tough, and that's what I'll say about Minnesota.
Yeah, just to move it along, I mean, Kansas City, I'm intrigued to see if they're able to replicate what they did last year. They really cooled off as far as bats go the last third of the season.
Also, I think their starting rotation pitched out of their GD minds.
And it's a matter of, are they going to be able to do it again?
Can Seth Lugo be what he was last year?
Well, they added Jonathan India, too.
I love the India pickup.
I do too.
I think the India pickup might be the best free agent acquisition in this entire division.
Well, you get some speed to get on base, and then you have wit hitting him in. I mean,
oh, Pasquantino right behind him. He is one. Pasquantino is one of the most underrated hitters in all of baseball.
He's got to stay healthy though.
Yes,
Salvador
he's got to
stay healthy. Is Sal Perez going to hit 35 bombs again? This Royals team has guys, but your rotation is Cole Reagans, who's your future. Can Seth Lugo repeat?
You're depending on a lot
can
of
can Michael
dudes.
Walker repeat? Can Lorenzen be Lorenzen? I like their bullpen a lot. They spent a ton of money on it last year, and you need a lot of the offense to continue to go. This team's got a lot of question marks.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how this plays out because their offense, it's intriguing, but I would say it leaves a little bit more to be desired 1 through 9. I do like those guys that we mentioned. I mean, India also, it's like he does have to have a little bit better year. Like his rookie year was great, but it's not like he's been lighting the world on fire the last couple seasons.
I think he's the perfect addition for that team.
Yeah, 15 home runs, almost 60 ribbies. He hit like 250 last year.
I think he'll be better than that too. I really do. And Pasquantino, if he can be healthy,
yeah,
that's the protection for Bobby. That's the protection for Bobby that you need.
Well, and Sal right around him. I mean, it makes it easy for Bobby Witt to hit them all in.
You know, but when does Father Time hit Sal?
He's 34.
Salvador Perez is only 34?
Yeah.
God, he looks like he's 50.
I was going to say, I would have guessed he's like at least 38. My God.
All right, that leaves us with the cream of the crop of the division, and that is Cleveland and Detroit. Just straightforward, guys.
Did you see your boy hit a home run today?
Of course I did.
Hell yeah. Good day, mate.
Good day, mate.
Foster's.
I'll tell you what. I was so high on this Tigers team because I thought they were going to get Bregman.
Smoking that Tigers pack.
I thought they were going to get Bregman. And the fact that they didn't, I am now down on him.
Really?
I just thought he would have been the perfect fit.
I mean, he would have been, but
the
I mean,
perfect fit for that team.
One player does
I
not
I would have
make...
taken the Tigers to push the Yankees to game 7.
One player does not make a MLB team, Patrick.
I know.
I mean, for what it's worth, though, I'm not taking the Tigers to win the division.
No?
No.
Who are you taking to win the division?
I'm probably rolling with Cleveland.
You taking the Tribe? Yeah, you taking the Tribe?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Baby.
I trust them. I like their lineup a little bit more.
I mean, Tanner Bibee had a fantastic season last year. Gavin Williams is also really good. Shane Beebs, Cy Young winner, will be back midseason. And this is, without a doubt, the best bullpen in Major League Baseball. It is not close. Class A is a closer, not my favorite closer. Everyone before him are absolutely juggernauts. Hunter Gaddis, Cade Smith. They added Paul Sewald in a non-leverage role. I love it.
Yeah, and again, I like what they have as far as hitters go.
They snagged Ortiz from Pittsburgh. He had some flashes last year of being a really good starter.
Yeah, I'm down with what the Guardians are putting down right now. If I had to choose, because I'm not obviously not choosing the White Sox.
Los is back too, dude.
I don't trust the Twins. While I do think that 1 through 3 starting lineups not that bad. I just can't trust them to be healthy, as we talked about. Detroit, I think that was one of those kind of got hot at the right time moments, and probably are playing ahead of schedule. And as far as the Royals go, I feel like we're banking on the pitchers to have a very similar season. And are they able to replicate that? And that hitting concerned me at the end of the year.
Come the beginning of this season, I'd actually like to spend a lot more time on this division. I actually think the American League Central is one of the most fascinating divisions in a good way. I think the American League West is a fascinating division in a bad way. But I think this division is so intriguing to me that I'd like to talk more about it, and maybe we'll do that in about a month. But we got to get out of here real quick. Who you take?
Guardians.
I'm not going Guardians. I'm going Royals.
You're going Royals.
I don't think the Guardians have a replication of last season in them.
I like that Royals pick a lot. I'm gonna go Guardians.
Of course,
let's go Guardians. All right, we come back. It's Fair or Foul, everybody's favorite. But first, there's Schultz with Sports.
Is it fair or is it foul? Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is everybody's favorite Fair or Foul. We'll pass it off over to Schultzy. Sorry we didn't give you a ton of time. We got a little sidetracked.
That's
on
okay.
Central. I'm a little biased.
And
my name is first on the show.
To end the show, I'll give you guys the win totals for the AL Central and Fangraph's projected winner of the division.
All right, we'll go quick. I know that when we're picking division winners and picking World Series winners, it takes up some time. I get it. But big news this week, obviously, and I think we've covered most of the stuff that I had in Fair or Foul anyway, so not a big deal. But the automated strike zone being tested out this season, at least in spring training in Major League Baseball. It's been used in the minor leagues, and now we are seeing it tested with a possible plan for implementation in 2026. So next regular season, we've seen some cases where people win the challenges, sure that they were actually a ball when it was a strike, and well, they were right, and they, unfortunately, on the other side of things, have embarrassed themselves, too, at times, like Max Scherzer because of catcher framing a pitch. It's way below the zone.
I like that Max was like, I believe in the umpires.
Yeah, can we just have humans doing it, please?
First time he ever believed in umpires.
Yeah, right. And they're still, yeah, exactly. He didn't believe in them when they kicked him out for washing his hands with rubbing alcohol because he had sticky stuff on him, right? Anyways, so there's definitely multiple schools of thought on here. But guys, fair or foul, I'm a fan of this new automated strike zone. I love watching umpires having to eat it in front of everybody when they're wrong. So fair or foul, umpires having to eat it in front of the crowd when they're wrong is good for baseball.
I can't believe I'm going to do this. I think it's foul.
Oh,
I am not a umpire apologist, but I believe in the human element. And I think what separates baseball from everything else is that when you look at NBA referees, they give different calls to different people. To where I believe in Major League Baseball, bad umps give bad calls for everybody, no matter who's at the dish, or good calls for anybody, whoever's at the dish. I'm not a fan of ABS. I'm not a fan of robo-umps. I like the human element behind the plate. Do I like Angel Hernandez? Absolutely not. Do I like the other guys? I do. I think it's good for baseball, so I'll say foul.
I say fair because I think this is just going to cause some hilarity when this gets implemented full time next year. Whereas, like, a team's going to use their challenge, be wrong, and then the next pitch, they're going to have a call, like, go against them to end the game. Where
and they can't do anything about it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty damn funny. And, yeah, so I say fair. I think it's good for baseball because the umps are going to have to eat it, but also the players are going to have to eat it sometimes too, because I know that we like to say that umps have the egos, but you know, who are more competitive and filled with egos than professional athletes? So I think it's fair. I think it's going to add a wrinkle into the game that will make things a little interesting.
All right, next up, in the last couple of weeks, we found out that ESPN is breaking up with Major League Baseball, exercising their opt-out. They will no longer, after 2025, be broadcasting games.
No, I broke up with you!
Yeah, we'll see who approached who first way down the line when the book comes out, right? But essentially, ESPN has been paying over $550 million, and that's per year, to air games, down to, at least last season, only planned on airing 30 games plus the Home Run Derby and the Wild Card. So in their mind, just paying too much. Baseball is starting to get some other ways to be watched. They're actually one of the leaders, it seems like, in teams that are going to the direct-to-consumer model. But you guys still think it's important to have national games on, especially during the summer when nothing else is going on. I agree to a point, but fair or foul, guys, MLB doesn't need ESPN to successfully broadcast their product.
Fair. I think that also the image of ESPN being the worldwide leader in sports
I know
it's not
going.
That does not hold weight anymore.
It really doesn't.
And so I say that they can again throw them on Fox. I think to me, whenever I hear Fox commentators and feel like I see the Fox graphics and an MLB game on Fox, and it's mostly because they have playoff rights and they play. That's usually when they're on Fox, anyways. I just feel like they do a better job. It feels more amplified. It feels more important. And again, I know that's just because in the past, they usually have more important games. I think the Fox, who is probably desperate for some programming also, I think that they should throw their hat into the ring.
I'll take it a step further and just say, I don't care what it's on. I don't care. I don't. Is it Apple TV on Friday night? Is it, do I got to throw a VPN to watch Root Sports? Do I got, is it ESPN? Is it Peacock on a Saturday morning? I don't care. I just want to watch. Just tell me where it is. And if I'm saying that I don't care where it is, and ESPN saying, well, we don't want it on ours, then cool. Adios. We'll find it.
They want it, just not at the price that it currently is.
We'll find it wherever it is. Yeah. And if you don't want to be a part about it, then fine. Have Dan Orlovsky tell me if Aaron Rodgers is going to sign with the Rams, who already have a quarterback right now. Like, go for it. Cool. Awesome, dude.
Yeah, I'll be interested if sports like this would start to maybe be consumed in more of, I don't know, like a
I like what Apple did with MLS.
Yeah.
I love that.
And you can watch it on a tablet. You can watch
ESPN
it on your phone.
ESPN Plus has
it
hockey. You can watch every hockey game on ESPN Plus.
All in one spot. Be nice if baseball could do the same thing. Frankly, well, remember they tried. ESPN did try to work something out with like Warner Brothers and Fox, I think, back a year ago that broke up because they were like basically unable to work out the rights. But they were trying to be like the broadcast hub for any sport.
I always find it so strange that ESPN Major League Baseball has always been at the forefront of streaming.
Yeah.
Yet in getting all games, any game into your house, they've been the last. I find that so fascinating.
Well, it's because they allowed those RSNs to sign the deal that said, yeah.
And they're all dying.
Yeah. But the MLB gave them basically the right to hamstring all of these teams by
they, like,
saying,
gave them a shot.
Yeah, by saying, hey, yeah, you gotta put us on Comcast, and you can't be putting us on streaming anymore.
They said, make it work. We believe in you, and then they failed.
Yeah, exactly. God, that's another conversation. All the crappy programming I've seen on Root Sports and NBC Sports Northwest over the years. What a waste. All right, guys, final fair or foul. Got to throw one in about my Seattle Mariners. I don't know if you've seen it, but the Mitches have been playing very well. Mitch Haniger hitting a home run over the weekend. It is spring training, okay?
Mitch Richmond, he's played for the Mariners. I love that guy.
Mitchell Butler, former Blazer bench guy? No. But Mitch Haniger, had a home run on Saturday. Mitch Garver, though, Garv Sauce, seems to be hitting the ball.
Oh, boy. He's got nicknames
hard.
Now.
Well, he had Garv Sauce was his nickname when he came last
year. Is he
year.
Batting above 200 for once?
Yes. He's actually got
201.
He's actually got three hits already. He's 2 for 2 on Sunday with
100%.
Two base hits. And then he also went 1 for 2 today with a home run.
That's 500. Yeah. That'll get you in the Hall of Fame, too.
Not in spring training, though. But Mitch Garver, also in those hits, hit the ball harder than he did at all last season. He hit it, I think, almost 112 miles an hour compared to, like, 108 last season. So, obviously, on the ball a bit better, guys. Mitch Garver is imperative to the Mariners' success, just like Mitch Haniger is, because they're making a ton of money. And Jerry DePoto and the ownership did not want to waste that money and basically just give up on their roster spot. So, we're stuck with them. Fair or foul, guys, the Seattle Mariners will win the AL West if Mitch Garver has a good season. Fair or foul?
No, foul.
No, absolutely foul.
No, because they need 8 other dudes to produce as well.
Yeah. This team completely relies on J.P. Crawford, Randy Arozarena, and Julio Rodriguez. Mitch Garver and Mitch Haniger don't mean anything.
If Mitch Garver has just a breakout season and leads the Mariners to an
A 15 home runs and a 240 average, wow.
Dude, I don't know what sort of radio bet we can do, but I'll take those odds any day of the week. Yeah, no, I mean, they need 1 through 9 to produce for them and everybody to hit. If Mitch Garver is part of that, cool. You know, that will definitely help, but they need dudes like, as Patrick said, J.B. Crawford, Julio. They need Cal Raleigh to hit home runs and hit for average. They need a lot more than just to rely. If you're relying on Mitch Garver to propel you to an AL West championship, boy, you got some problems.
Without a doubt. The Dodgers aren't saying, you know, if Kike Hernandez hits 20 home runs, we're going to win a World Series.
Dude, Chris Taylor can propel
us. If Chris Taylor plays 60 games and steals 4 bags and bats 250, we got it.
This is how sad it is to be a Mariners fan.
Real quickly, I saw it was an Instagram post where it was like Seattle 2015 and Seattle now. And it was showing different like corners and streets in Seattle and how it's been built up and how there's been, you know, this used to be nothing. And then skyscraper, right? Like a 10-year look forward. The last two pictures of this, it was showing the banners inside Safeco in 2015, and then the picture of the banners in 2025, and there was nothing changed.
There's nothing new. It's sad. It's so sad.
It was great. I thought it was hilarious. I got a good chuckle out of it.
You know what? I do believe they changed one banner. It was just the appearances.
Adding the 2022 appearance.
They stupidly had an ALCS banner because they had nothing else to celebrate. And then finally, like, they could put up a division banner after their win in 2022. So, just sad.
Sorry, I passed out. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
The crappy Mariners.
Dude, lay off the fence.
All right, that is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday. God, I always want to say Wednesday. Every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour, we come back. Joe's got over-under totals for the Centrals. We'll do that next. Hot Corner, 10 of the Fan. All right, we're off next week, so we'll see you in 2 weeks, and we'll go through the West.
NL?
I almost think we should dedicate the entire show to the West.
The NL West? The entire
both of
show?
Them. Both of them. The National League West has got a lot going on.
I mean,
and the American League West is like the saddest, unpredictable division I can think of.
You know what's really sad is when I'm in DraftKings looking at the over-under win totals is that every team has like a, you know, for Baltimore, it's like BAL, Orioles, BOS, Red Sox, SEA, Mariners, and then it's just Athletics.
ATH.
Yeah, it's just Athletics.
ATH.
Nothing.
I honestly think in 2 weeks we should spend an entire hour on the NL West and the AL West.
I thought we were going to do them on separate shows, and so we were going to be able to break it up, and if anything happens.
Do we have it? I thought we looked through this.
No, we have. After next week, we do have two more shows before the season starts.
I thought we were going to do the West, and then after that, do our World Series playoff MVPs, etc.
I see. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Whatever, man. Whatever you want to do, dude. I mean, I don't know.
Name is first for a reason.
I don't know if you can care. Whatever.
My name is first for a reason.
Real quickly, you want some win totals?
Yes, I do.
Do you want me to give them to you? Or
no,
do you
no. I want to guess.
Chicago White Sox. Let's start there.
I'm going to go with 64.5.
Oh, my God.
Luke?
52.5.
53.5. I kind of gave it away by my reaction. Like,
they're
going to
lose.
Damn, Patrick.
They're going to lose 110 games again?
Yes.
Probably.
Wow. I just didn't think they'd lose 110 games.
Well, they lost 120 last year. Well, so.
Cleveland? The Guardians.
I'll bet you the Guardians win the Central 89.5.
No, 87.5.
82.5.
What?
Whoa! No love. Let's just remember they picked us to finish fourth last year, and we finished what's higher than two? One.
The Kansas City Royals.
Well, if Cleveland's 82.5, give me 84.5.
85.5.
83.5.
What the hell, man?
The Detroit Tigers.
They like the Tigers. Give me 85.5.
No, I don't. 80.5.
83.5.
What is going on?
They're not picking anyone.
They're not picking
this year.
Anybody.
The Minnesota Twins.
79.5.
75.5.
84.
No.
What the hell is the meaning of this?
The projected.
Someone tell me why, damn it. I swear to God, that'll stop your heart.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it'll be a home run.
That one was just random.
The projected standings, according to Fangraphs, Minnesota wins the division
no.
83-79.
Minnesota?
Stop it.
Tigers finish second at 82-80. Royals finished third at 81-81, and my Cleveland Guardians finish at 77-85.
Dude, spit on that.
Hey, I will say, Patrick, that they have the White Sox finishing 63-99, though.
Yeah, those people can kiss my ass.
All right, I will see you at A&A, and I will put hella money on that.
Putting it on the Royals.
All that money that's in your lunchbox.
I got $310. Don't rob me. All right, that'll do it for us. We're off next week. We'll see you in a couple weeks. We'll get through the American League and the National League West as we get closer and closer to baseball, baby. Find us on podcasts when you need us. And that's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris Schulze. Thank you as always, brother. Good to have you back. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Go do something. I would do.